And again, it is good on this beautiful Sunday morning that we are here today. Again, you could have elected to be anywhere else, but you wanted to be here in the house of the Lord. And thank God that you and I are here. For the Bible clearly lets us know that we're not to forsake the assemblings of each other, but that we come and acknowledge our Lord and Savior, and that we come and encourage one another, lifting one another up in prayer. And so it is good that we are here today. If you would, go with me in the New Testament to the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 31st verse, Acts 4 and 31. As time will permit, we're going to go through some scriptures here today. And if you got pen and paper there, there's going to be some things that's going to be on the screen today that you can jot down as we go into God's Word. And so we're looking in Acts, the fourth chapter and the 31st verse. And the title of my message today is this: Let's Plug Into the Power. Let's Plug Into the Power. And we want to look at this a little bit because we cannot do anything within ourselves. We must have the Lord in our hearts and in our lives to do the work that God has called us, because God has not called us to do things within ourselves and our own intellect, our own ability, our own knowledge, our own understanding, but He says for us to lean on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the one that will sustain us. He is the one that will take care of us and provide for us. And He is the one that will help us in our faith every day as we live this life. And folks, I don't know what people do without the Lord, because I know I need the Lord. For the Lord is there to help us in time of need and trouble. He is there to help us in decisions that you and I may have to make. And they may be some hard decisions in life that you and I may have to make. But guess what? We can lean on the Lord. We can talk to the Lord. And we can speak to Him through the power of prayer. Prayer is essential in our hearts and our lives. How that prayer should be in the center of our lives at all times, so that we can communicate what the Lord is saying even unto us as we say unto Him through the power of prayer. And so let's look at this a little bit in Acts 4 and 31. In Acts 4 and 31, God's Word says this: And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. And now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that of any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And when with the great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, look at that word, and great grace was upon them all. I want to look at this passage here a little bit, because we see this in the New Testament as the church began to be developed. We see that those begin to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they spoke with boldness. In other words, everybody was in one mind, one accord. Nobody was thinking about what's going to happen next week, what's going to happen next year. They didn't get their minds on whether we're going to be beheaded because of the cause of Christ, because persecution was going on. in the church of the New Testament. They were things that were taking place, and yet they got their minds in one mind and one accord, and everything the Bible says became common. Nobody worried about how many houses they had, how many cars they had, how rich they were, how this and how is that, and if you're not this and you're not that. No, everybody came into one mind because they were wanting to reach the lost and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus had commanded them to go out and reach a lost and dying world. And so when they gathered together, the power of the Holy Spirit began to move upon this group of people, and they began to profess and say who Jesus was. Why? Because Jesus had changed them, and if Jesus had changed them, then they wanted to share with others what Jesus had done for them. And so I share with you today, as we look at this passage and as we see the Word of God for what it is, that is what God is wanting you and I to do. He is not wanting us to just hear the Word of God. And the Bible says, be not just hearers of the Word of God, but to be doers of the Word. In other words, He wants something to change in your life. He doesn't want you to go through the same old, same old. He doesn't want you to go through the same pattern that you've always been going through, but He's literally wanting to empower you. He's wanting to give you something that you've never seen. Eyes have never seen, ears have never heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for His people. So therefore, He's wanting you to tap into this power. Now you may ask me today, Pastor, what are you talking about this power? What is this power that you're talking about that you need to tap into? Let's look at this a little bit. God's power versus generated power. I want to look at this a little bit. God's power versus generated power. Power is the ability to do something or act in a particular way. There is the steam power that we know. There is electric power that we know. There is coal power. There is gas power. There is horsepower. And we have to plug in when our phones are dying or our laptop needs a charge. Anything that runs on batteries has to be charged by power. Now, I want to share with you today, as we see this physically, I want you to see this spiritually. There are times that we get low in spiritual power, and we have to be charged up. We have to go back and divert to the Word of God, and the Word of God empowers us and charges us up and brings us in an area so that the Lord can use us, because you can't use a phone if it's dead. You cannot use a laptop if it is dead. Even when it doesn't have but one more bar on your computer or on your phone, it's going to eventually die until you plug into the power for it to be charged. That's the same way it is with us today spiritually as Christians. We have to be energized. We have to be charged up, because we cannot do the work that Jesus Christ has called you and I to do if we are not charged up, if we're not prayed up, if we've not read up, if we've not had that time with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be the disciple and the servant that Jesus Christ has called you and I. Because if we go through the motions, we're not fulfilling what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. Give God praise in the house today. If we're not careful, we become lackadaisical to where we don't do what the Lord has called us to do. We will be a people that are wandering like in a wilderness, and we don't know what direction to go until we get plugged in to the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know today, the Bible clearly lets us know that Jesus has spoken to you and I through the Word of God. And we need to know that we are all in need of God's power, including your pastor. We are all in the need. Why? Because we're living in a world, okay, but we're not of the world, but we're in this world, and we're needing the power of God to do the work that God has called us to do. You can't do it within yourself. The pastor cannot do it within himself. The church cannot do it within themselves. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to move in each individual as it was in the days of old, as they begin to seek for God and the power as one mind and one accord. Then they begin to turn their world upside down. Because they got their mind off themselves and they got their mind on God. And that's what's wrong a lot with our churches today. We've got our minds on ourselves and not our minds on God. We've got our minds on what she's doing, what he's doing, what she's not doing, what he's not doing, and we get our mind, and that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants you to get your mind in other things and not on the main things in life. And that is what God is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to keep the main thing the main thing. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't worry about whatever what all is going on around you. Keep your mind on the cross. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ. Keep your mind on the main thing, knowing that God is going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you, and He's going to help you in the life which you're living. How strong is your faith in Jesus Christ? Is your faith, does it lie within a man or a woman or materials or things in life, or are you putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? We need His power to live the Christian life. We need His power to overcome the enemy of our souls. We need His power to reach a lost and dying world. You need to have the power. First of all, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then when you make the profession of faith and accept Jesus Christ in your heart and life, then you can turn right around and share the good news with others and say, the Lord that saved me, the Lord that helped me, is the same God that can help you. Listen, all the power we need is available to you and I. Listen to me today. All the power is available to you and I. All we have to do is reach out and accept it. Jesus says, I've given you the power. I've given you the authority. He's done been through it. He's given us the power and the authority. That's what He was setting up the church of the New Testament as the day as they begin to pray and the power of God begin to saturate their heart and mind because they longed for it. They didn't know what it was all about, but they wanted to do the will of God. They wanted to follow the will of God. They wanted to see their friends, their loved ones, and others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that love burn within them, the passion burn within them. We've got to have the fire and the passion once again. Lord, bring revival to our hearts and lives. Shake our church. Shake us, Lord, to bring us to where we need to be, not where we want to go. Hallelujah. Listen, we have the promise of the power in the Great Commission. This scripture that I'm going to read to you was not a suggestion. It was a command that Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, look at this, all authority. Not your authority. Not somebody else's authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, to heaven and on earth. God the Father sent His Son and gave Him the power and the authority. So therefore, that power and authority now, Jesus says, go, verse 19, and therefore make disciples of all the nations, not just America, not just South America, not to other just one country, to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. There's not a suggestion. Jesus says, I've commanded it to you. I've commanded to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, guess what? I've commanded you to do this. You see, I feel like today we live in a society, especially with a lot of our churches, we're wanting somebody else to do the missionary work. We want somebody else to do the discipleship. We want somebody else. You know, yesterday we had a guest speaker at our seniors day, and he was talking about how that churches hire out motivators to motivate the church. Can you believe that? Can you believe that churches today hire motivator speakers to motivate people to do the work of God? When was it that a church had to hire out motivators to motivate God's people? We don't need to be hiring out motivated speakers to motivate God's people. We must look at the Word of God and what it says and what it is. Jesus says, I have commanded you to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He said, I didn't call a motivator. I'm not calling a motivator. I'm calling you. Jesus Christ is calling you. Jesus Christ is calling me. He's not asking somebody else. He's asking you to go and do the work that Jesus has commanded and not suggested for us to do. He says to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. In other words, when Jesus teaches and when Jesus speaks, then we are to act on what Jesus is saying. It's not for us to ignore it. It's not a suggestion. It is what He has commanded unto us. Listen, Paul longed for the power of the resurrection. In other words, in Philippians 3 and 10, Paul says that I may know Him, that I may know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. It took power to resurrect our Lord and Savior. It took the power of what God orchestrated in bringing His Son into this world, for His Son to die on the tree, to die on the cross, and for Him to be resurrected. It took the power of the Father to bring Him out of that grave on the third day. And the same power that brought Him out of resurrection is the same power that you and I have to be tapped in on a daily basis. Because we cannot do this within ourselves. Listen, the early church had power to change the world. Now I want you to look at this. They changed their world upside down, and they did not have social media. They did not have internet. They did not have satellite. They did not have it. It went by word of mouth, but who was behind the word? Jesus Christ was behind it. And that's what it's going to take for us, folks. If we're leaning on social media, we're leaning on satellite, we're leaning on this and that and the other, listen, we need to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. that we will be effective in doing the work that God has called you and I, and that the power may rest upon our hearts and lives, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ may be resonating in our hearts and die in our lives, so that we can fulfill and do what Christ has called you and I to do. Listen, Acts 17 and 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down and have come here too. How can God's great power be ours? How can God's great power be ours?" My first point today is this: plug into the power of prayer. How can we make the change? Plug into the power of prayer. Acts 4 and 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke to the words of God with boldness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Have we prayed enough that God would shake us, that God would shake our position, that God would shake our circumstance, that God would shake our situation? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The message is clear. Power comes through prayer. And when you've prayed, you pray again. And when you prayed again, you pray again. And when you prayed again, you pray again. The disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray. Luke 11 and 1. Now it came to pass, as they were praying in a certain place, when he ceased, the one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." We are all well taught in many things. We're taught in organizations, we're taught in doctrine, we're taught in teaching techniques. Yet too many illustrates in the school of prayer. We learn to pray by asking big and accepting answers. Prayer brings the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say again, too many are illiterates in the school of prayer. And prayer brings boldness in telling others of Christ. My second point today is this: plug into the power of love. Not only the power of prayer, but the power of love. They were of one heart and of one soul, loving one another. One was not over the other. One was not jealous of the other. One was not saying, "I got this and you don't have that." They all begin to unify themselves in the bond of love. All Christian effort is useless without love. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, as the Apostle Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and of understanding all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all the faith and so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. And where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For Paul says, "For we know in part, and we have prophecy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but the face, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These things, but the greatest of it all, the greatest of it all, is love. The Bible says that love will hide a multitude of sin. Love. How much do you love your neighbor? How much do you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord? How much do you love? Love forgives and breaks down barriers. Love looks for the best in our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Love is considerate of others in the church. Love produces a passion for lost ones in the community. Love enables Christians to put away their differences. Love makes people more important than position or possession. And third, I want you to know today, plug into the power of witnessing. Plug in to the power of witnessing. Every one of us today, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a past, every one of us. And that past becomes our testimony when we accept Jesus into our heart and lives. In other words, when we meet others, and there'll be someone that you will meet one day. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't met that. You're telling me, but I haven't met that. Well, one day you'll meet somebody. And you will meet somebody that may be struggling. Maybe struggling with addictions. Maybe struggling with something that you struggled with. And they're having a hard time with it. And what we are to do as a witness, we are to share with them and say, listen, I know where you've been. And I know what you're going through. I've been there. But I want you to know, I know the Lord. And the Lord, the same God that helped me, is the same God that will help you. And when you give your testimony, you become a witness to someone to share a good news. I'm not asking you to be a Bible thumper. God is not asking you to beat people down with the Bible. No, but with your testimony and with what you have, God has helped you through, you become a witness. God has called preachers, teachers, and evangelists, but there's one thing that He has called all of us. He's called us to be a witness. He's called us to share the love and give those that are in need prayer and know that there is a God that will help them get through what they're going through in life. Acts 4 and 33 in my closing says this, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great, there's that word again, I want you to see this, and great grace was upon them all. Not just grace, but great grace. In other words, God gives us grace that you and I will never be able to understand. God loves you unconditionally, and you'll never be able to understand that. As God loved His one and only Son for Him to die on a cross, you'll never be able to understand that. I'll never be able to understand that. But there's one thing that I thank God for, is that He sent His Son that you and I could be set free. That you and I do not have to die a death and being separated from our Lord and Savior, but you and I can unite ourselves together and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and make Jesus Christ our personal Savior, and that we one day can make heaven our home. Plugging in to witnessing. With great power gave the apostle witness. These praying, loving power became powerful witnesses. they witnessed of the power of the cross and the resurrection. Evangelism is the greatest need of our time. How that we need to understand and how important that this is. Churches become so few in witnessing for Christ. Witnessing Christians are powerful forces to God. Because you're not just knowing Christ, but now you're making Him known. It is not for just to know Christ and that's it. It's not just to save ourselves. It's not just to save everything that we're to receive. But only the one thing that we need to understand is that we accept and receive and then we share with others. We give out to others and encourage others. Consider the accomplishments of the early church. Without our advantages, they put us to shame. They stressed the basics and won thousands, listen to me today, they won thousands to the Lord. We must get back to the basics of Christianity. We must get back to the basics of what Jesus has commanded us to do. Prayer, love, and witnessing will shake the world for Christ. Let me say it again. Prayer, love, and witnessing will shake the world for Christ. Do you know, it is amazing how God can move in a mighty way if we would just become the willing vessels to be used of God. It's almost like God telling Jeremiah, the prophet in the Bible, to go down to the potter's house and to see what the potter is doing. And he was molding clay, a clay pot. He was molding things. And God told Jeremiah, says, the way that the potter is moving that clay is the same way that I want to move in your life and I want to move on Israel's life. The clay that you see is nothing but a lump of mud. But when God gets a hold of it and when He fashions it and when He molds it and when He applies it and He begins to do something in your life, then you know that the structure is there, and now that you know, you're not doing it within your own intellect, your own wisdom, your own ability, but now you are relying on Christ. He becomes your strength. In your weaknesses, He becomes strong. When you can't go on, you can lean on the Lord Jesus Christ and He will sustain and take care of you. Stand with me across the building today.